Thank you for listening to Abstract Illusions Radio. With each breath of air, gain new insights and inspirations as we explore and expose the different aspects of the human experience. Now with your host, Jennifer Hellman. Good evening, everyone. This is Jennifer Hellman, and yes, I'm on Ustream. Today we are going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to introduce who I feel is like my Ed McMahon. She's an awesome friend. She's brilliant in so many ways. And so I asked her to come on the show and have a discussion with me. We are going to be opening the phone lines so you can call in. But first, let me bring in my co-host, Christina Thompson. She is a wonderful person, and she is the Isagenix person to go to. You can find her on Facebook and many other places, and I'm sure she will have a little spiel for us on it because it is awesome, awesome products. So, Chris, are you there?
I am, and since this wasn't rehearsed, I'm really overwhelmed with that introduction. But I've always been in gratitude for the fact that you're in my world. And thank you so very much.
What is your website for Isagenix?
My name, ChristinaThompson.com.
Okay, go for it. And so today we're going to be talking a little bit about past lives and patterns in the energy that's going on. And I have recently gone through a huge upheaval, as Chris can attest to. And I actually have written on my blog the last few weeks about a pattern that started 10 years ago. And recently I had a very strange dream that kind of seemingly started it all over again, but in reality it was going backwards. So it is like completing the cycle. And it's interesting because it does have to do with past life connections. Right now it's like everyone is clearing the decks for their divine complement, being just a soulmate or their twin flame. And it is a huge deal for getting an understanding on past lives because the patterns really, a lot of them have started a long, long time ago. Chris and I have talked about past lives quite a few times, wouldn't you say, Chris?
Absolutely. You are the person I would speak to for anything that gives you that deja vu feeling.
Me and Chris did not really talk about what we're going to talk about too much, so I'm going to be kind of like winging it, and so is she. So it is kind of an interesting, fun time to do this with the past lives. Now, you have experienced doing a past life regression, correct?
Yes, I have.
What was your feeling about doing that?
My feelings about doing it in the beginning was just purely curiosity and zero belief system. Zero. In fact, I would say I was a skeptic. And even after, I still was kind of like processing it, going, okay, how much of this is just made up fun fantasy, science fiction, and how much of it, I didn't even consider it relevant. I just thought it was amazing. But what I do remember is when you introduced it and we began, there was something, I remember it was like 1946 and I paused. Or you noticed I stopped breathing or something. I mean, I wasn't aware of it, but I was aware of it, where I had a memory that I was never aware of. But then you took me all the way back to almost three centuries to a parallel of something that happened in this lifetime. Now, when I was doing this, I thought it was only 20 minutes. So,
and when, in actuality, it was like an hour and a half, wasn't it?
It was much longer. 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
It was very long, because when I looked at the clock, I went, oh, my lands. And yet, where I was at, where there was no time, my human psyche was thinking 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. I was just floored with how much time had passed.
It was very interesting, because literally we got to like 1946, like she said, yeah. And all of a sudden she stopped. She goes, wait a minute, I was born in 1950. Wait a minute, this can't be.
That is exactly what it was. That was like the first door portal prior to my life of what I understood. And I'm going, there's no way I can have a memory in the 40s. I wasn't around.
Yeah, and you were dancing.
And I was dancing, that's right. I was like, what is going on? That's right. So that was my first shock, and shock's not the word for it, but where you just kind of pause and go, huh, and you're just dumbfounded. And it just played like a movie in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was me watching me, and it was just, huh. So, And it is still, for me.
Right. And it's very quick and easy to, the way I am certified in hypnosis and NLP, so I actually use timeline coaching with Chris. I didn't even use what they would consider a normal way of doing hypnosis and past life regression. I let her walk herself back on her own timeline, and it's really quick and easy, and it does make amazing differences in people's lives, to at least acknowledge and understand that, yes, this has happened before, and yes, it is affecting you still. The situation, the pattern that I recognize was just in this lifetime within the last 10 years, and yet the people involved, I've had numerous, there's tons and tons of past lives. And I know quite a few of them. And I'm sure I will uncover more and more. But it was a lot of fun to work with Chris, because she was just so curious and so open to what it was about. And she was really just like, wow, that's kind of interesting. And I remember you sitting down and saying, I got to write this out, and taking some time. And we got lots of information. And the situation with patterns that really, it was funny, because we started with the past life and ended up opening up other kinds of worms with the situation, because it's like one thing led to another, which opened because we started talking about emotions, didn't we, Chris?
We did. But because of the cycle and the repetition of current events and past events that were quite amazing to me to realize that they happened, mm-hmm. You cut karmic ties. You cut these karmics, or we cut these threads or something, so that it could not be repeated again.
Well, a lot of times once you recognize the karmic ties, it does make a difference in how it comes around. And there's other ways to make sure to cut them. Number one, very easy, is just ask Archangel Michael to cut all karmic cords that are for your highest good and the highest good of all. That's a simple one. Generally, there are other ones that you can do, is just visualize yourself with your own, you know, you can use your hand, you can use a feather, and just kind of swipe in front of you. I'm going to use a pen. So it's like on your face, since I have the visual this time, you can just cut any ties. And make sure you get your back, especially around the neck, the heart area, and the lower back. A lot of people love to attach there, and they don't even realize they're doing it. The other things you can do to alter contracts and agreements, because this is basically what is happening, is you're recognizing all your contracts, all the agreements with all the people in your lives, because you're clearing it out so you can get your soul group here, who are, for the most part, karma-free, because we're all paying up our karma now. So we'll get rid of the 3D and go into the 5D. Woohoo! Looking forward to that. You can write a letter. And in the letter, you just say, I, put your name, hereby now end, delete, void any contract with, put the person's name, the emotion. You can do emotions, situations, anything that you want to fill in the blank, and bring it forward to the present time. Transmuting it through the violet flame of transformation, and bring it forward healed, in the highest powers of love and light. And it is amazing. I have done it several times, and it has made a huge difference in the interactions, because you don't have those almost S&M kind of deals where I'm going to hurt you because you did this in the past. It just neutralizes everything. And I'm not saying that you won't have karma, because things could happen. But then again, if we're really in the 5D or heading to the 5D, you're not going to do anything to cause any karma, because we're getting over that. We're rising above that energy, which is really quite easy to really feel like, yeah, this is where I want to be. So if there's anything that you really don't understand, because there's a lot of people with depression and with a lot of angst and really negative feelings, and you want to make sure your heart is open. So you want to make sure that you're clearing out anything that's blocking it. Number one, and I think Chris would agree, is unforgiveness of yourself. I'm guilty of it. It's been a huge issue for me in the last several weeks, actually realizing how much I was holding against myself. It's great to be responsible, but you don't need to beat yourself up, because it's just not worth it. Forgive yourself and take yourself to understand that it was a lesson. You learned it. Acknowledge the lesson, because that makes a huge difference. And then you can move forward. Do you feel that is a good thing for people to start, is with forgiveness, Chris?
Well, the hardest thing, I think, for any person is to look in the mirror and look at themselves and say, I love you. And a part of that process is forgiving yourself for being human and understanding that we're human and we make mistakes. And then again, if you were to give somebody advice on say, a good friend, and they were feeling bad for a mistake they made, you're not going to condemn them. What are you going to do? You're going to listen to them. You're going to stay neutral and show them the positives instead of the negatives and be there for support. Yet on ourselves, we're so harsh and so self-condemning. So, yeah, forgive yourself and allow yourself to recognize that you're not God. You're human.
Well, you're a spiritual being having a human experience.
Exactly. And then I guess now what I've learned from you is there are contracts that I agreed to to do, and that's sort of like a bitter, salty taste in my mouth the first time I heard it, because you went, "What? I'm responsible for this?" And I didn't want to recognize that I was responsible, that I was the one who agreed to it. And that's when I said, "I want to stop these. I want to cancel these contracts. I want out. I don't want to do that. Why would I agree to do that?" And then you have to go into the butterfly effect and realize that if that didn't happen, then this wouldn't have happened, and this wouldn't have happened, and all of these things had to happen for this to happen, and it can get just so deep.
And yes,
forgive others and just walk with your chin up and be a good person.
Definitely. And if nothing else, if you want to take a time out for yourself, take a couple days, take a week, take two, it's okay. If you need to even forgive the other person, it's sometimes you just got to sit back and say, okay, what just really happened, and kind of sort it out. And but don't beat yourself up too much, or the other person for that matter, because really there is nothing that has any meaning. It's what we place on it. That's the value of what we put out there. Intentions are great, and it helps us move forward, but we're putting the meaning to that intention. We're putting the energy to it. And that's the feeling now is, you know, there's an emotion to it, and the more you feel it, the stronger it's going to happen. But you need to have that kind of feeling and emotion behind the intention. And so you've got to do the same thing with patterns, is really recognize it and say, okay, this is a pattern, and name it. I'm not forgiving myself. Why am I not forgiving myself? And kind of figure out all the different ways and all the different things that you've held yourself back. And I actually wrote down and out some of the things that I've done, and went into meditation, and they showed me a whole list of things that I haven't forgiven myself for. And it's like, oh, wow, that's kind of a lot. And you generally are harder on yourself than you are other people. That's just the nature of who we are. So, but there is a lot of wonderful energy coming in. We've coming up in like 3 weeks on the 30th, I'm having Kelly Rosano on, an astrologer, and she's going to talk about the upcoming year and some of the transits that are coming up in 2011. And we've been talking, and get ready for forward movement in the most positive and awesome ways. Even in December, there is an eclipse that is going to be literally clearing a lot of the 3D karma. So this is the time with the Mercury retrograde happening to rethink, regroup, replan, and make sure you have everything in order for moving forward in 2011. I'm making a 12-year plan. Being a tiger, that's what they suggest I do, because the next tiger year for me is 12 years from now. So it's a great way to get yourself, you know, a little at a time. And just, I'm just listing the things I want to do, the things I want to see, what I want to experience for the next 12 years. So there's a lot of good things. Another thing that's coming up that's going to be a pre-record also is Manifesting Your Dreams is a new website that one of the guests, actually they both were guests on air, Cindy Dale and Anthony J.W. Benson have collaborated to make a website called ManifestYourDreams.com. Check it out. It is a wonderful idea, and they'll help you get that, you know, mastermind going to manifest your dreams and kind of hold you accountable for where you are and how you're doing it. And that's coming up in a couple weeks. And then, so we're talking about patterns and past lives and the energy right now. So if you have any comments and you want to call in, or if you have any questions about figuring out what the pattern is, please, you're welcome to call in. The number at the station is 888 815 9756, and they are open. What are some of the patterns that you think you that you think is, other than unforgiveness, is there anything else that has really been a major
Acceptance.
issue that you've worked on?
Yeah, acceptance, accountability, responsibility. When I realized that I agreed to certain things, and then I also understood that those things had to happen for the better and the higher good. So even during the process of not really enjoying it, the outcome was, better. I don't know how to explain it. Maybe it's like when you make a garden and you have to throw manure on it to get the best crop. So if you want to use the analogy of tilling the ground and fertilizing the ground, that's not too fun. But when the harvest is plentiful and bountiful, then you realize you had to go through all of that to get there. And you agreed to it.
Right. And that's the thing that people, you were standing in line and they said, okay, here's a list of things that you wanted to do. Pick and choose what you wanted to experience in one life. It's like, can I go back and read? And in actuality, you can change your agreements. Like I said, you can definitely cancel them. You can alter them so it speeds up the process. So you do have total control. You just have certain people that you agreed to meet in this lifetime, and now it's coming with the 2012. We're getting back to our soul group, which is the first time in 26,000 years. That's going to be quite a party, I think.
Now, is the soul group now, or is the soul group for 2012?
It's for a lifetime. This is the original group when you were, when you originally came down on this lovely planet, and that you originally came around with, that you had your first agreements, and you've been playing with them on and off for 26,000 years in some form or another. And it's kind of interesting to think that if you're meeting someone, you have that instant recognition and you just have this really strong connection. Most likely it's a soul connection, especially now. And it doesn't mean you have to meet them face to face. It is really amazing. It's like I'm not sure exactly how many lives I've had with Chris, but I know I've had quite a few. And Chris was just mentioning on chat, and if you're on Ustreams, there is a chat that you can go on, and I'm keeping an eye on, and you can ask me questions or whatever if you'd like to pop on there. Chris is just saying I was a nun and I gave her food. I was a nun many, many times. I actually committed suicide as a nun. My body was not pure because of the fact that I was raped, and I didn't think I was pure enough to serve God anymore, so I committed suicide. Obviously, I'm a different person now. But it was interesting. I'm sure I did. I'm sure I gave you food. I'm like getting a flash of it now. It's probably the same one that I committed suicide. Actually, it's the feeling I'm getting. So you were in Vienna. And it's interesting. I've met a few people even on Facebook that I have a really strong connection with, and I'm not quite sure why. there is a friend of mine who is a member who was on the show, Michelle D'Souza. We met at a networking deal locally, and we both literally started laughing until we were burned at the stake together. So we've been buddies ever since. You know, you burn at the stake with somebody, you just have a really special kind of bond. And it's amazing the people that I've met that I've just really clicked with instantly, like Chris. And I'm sure we had lots and lots of past lives. What are you getting on this past life that you're typing away from about, Chris?
Well, I've been getting like little flashes and blimps, and I actually did see you, Jennifer, and I was a street person. I was actually an outcast, and not really considered a witch, but not considered socially acceptable. So I was more into the apothecary of herbs, but I was also a street person. So I traded medicinal herbs for things, but food was very hard to come by. Bread was absolutely priceless. And you would carry bread in your sleeves. And against the order, you gave me bread. And it would have, and you weren't supposed to give, you know, the evil people bread. But you did.
I just can't.
That's the life where the priest killed me. That's where I was stabbed from the priest. Because the priest was afraid that I was hurting his congregation.
Wow. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. So it's amazing the depth of information you can get from just opening up to it. And I have oftentimes when I really started my adventure and spirituality and opening up to my gifts and stuff, I literally say, I would meet someone and say, okay, something's up with this one. And ask for the past life. And they generally would give it to me in a dream, in a vision, little bits and pieces. I can't remember. I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone, and all of a sudden it came through, a really violent one. And generally I start with a death and then I go backwards. If you get any, there's a CD that you can get from Brian Weiss that can actually help you get your own past lives. And I recommend his stuff. And he says start with a death and go backwards. That's when you know it's more authentic. And generally, that's how I've been getting it. It was very interesting. Even going in to New York in 2000, walking in Central Park, I just knew I'd been there. And I got a flash of a past life when I was, I was a very young girl and playing in the snow in Central Park, skating, and I met a young man there that later on became my husband, and that was a really wild trip to see all of that, because I met that man later, 3 years later. And that was a very interesting time to go through, because literally I was living the past life and the current time at the same time, because right now timelines are collapsing. Parallel existence are collapsing into one. So they're blending and they're shifting, and the past lives are really popping up a lot. It's really fun just to write them down and see how it's interacting with your current life, because they're all happening simultaneously, just in a different plane of reality. So it is a lot of fun to see all those things and how they really can affect you in this life in a huge way. Chris has had some pretty amazing experiences from finding at least the one we really were looking at, it really did parallel something going on in this life. So I was not surprised to find out that she was, a slave in another lifetime. It kind of fit some of the emotional things she was going on in this life, wouldn't you say?
There was a lot of symbolics, like the water is very symbolic in this life and the last life, last lives. I don't know how many. But now when I, and I love water, but now when I stand by water, it has a whole different meaning. It is, it would be just like looking into a mirror and realizing that that's the same water that was running. That was pretty bizarre. When you talk about parallel universes collapsing, I don't get that. Parallel universes mean that there's me in another universe happening right now, not in the past, not in the future, but right now.
Yes.
I don't get that.
Okay.
I know it's science fiction. I get it as science fiction, but I don't get that as real.
There's a saying, I can't remember who said it, but basically all of life is a fiction, is fiction. Basically everybody has, it's like almost seeing parallel lines, and each line is a different dimension. Each line has a different life. It has similar energy, the same players, possibly in slightly different form or roles, but basically they're all doing the same thing until you learn the lesson, and then it shifts. I have a connection with somebody, and literally I always say to them, when are we going to get this right? Because we always seem to have something that's slightly off, and it's just like, okay, when are we going to get this? But now I'm totally understanding we're doing exactly as we're supposed to, so it is exactly how it's supposed to be. So, but the parallel lives basically is, if you think about it, a piece of paper, line paper, and if you're holding it up in front of you and you have all those lines, you can think of each line as a different parallel.
And then when it collapses, and you say they are collapsing, what are some of the things a person can look for to realize, oh, that's because the veil is thinner and the parallel universes are collapsing? What would be something that would let you know? Or would you even know?
Well, it just depends on how it comes about. It's the one that I really remembered, other than the one I just went through, the one from New York. The situation is very well that I met this person, we were married in the past life. I was unable to have children, and we were married, couldn't have kids. He really was desperate to have kids. And so he had an affair, basically with our maid, thinking that she would be the surrogate for this child. But she had other ideas, so she literally tried to attempt to call me or cause me to go insane and convince my husband to have me institutionalized. In this life, met the same woman, and when I met her and I was talking to her, it was fine, but afterwards I'd have panic attacks because I knew what she had done in the past. And I had to heal it by doing, number one, finding the pattern out. And once I learned that she was just playing her part, and I got the lessons of I needed just to relax about this and not put much stress on it because I literally felt like I was going insane again. I literally did. Once I learned some lessons and figured out she was no threat to me in this lifetime, she literally disappeared. She moved out of town.
So why does that follow through? Why does a past life come into a current life? I mean, why did that even happen?
Only because there was certain essence, that panic attack, I had to get over that panic attack. That feeling of being threatened, the feeling of I'm insane, or the fear of being institutionalized.
Okay, so the way I understand this then is if I met somebody for the first time and they just had an aura about them or I had a feeling about them, that means I knew them before?
Very much so.
Is that absolute? Or is it just something that my intuition picks up on? Or do you have to just ask questions and figure it out?
Sometimes you'll figure out instantly, and sometimes it will be a little bit of an issue.
Okay,
But basically,
let's go
it's
with
coming into your life for
relationships.
something to be healed. You might not need something healed, the other person might. You might just be like the witness, or like this woman was just coming in. She really had nothing really to do except trigger those panic attacks so I could get over that feel, that fear and stuff. So that's her part. And once I figured out what that panic attack was about, I was able to let her go. Interesting enough, the guy had a harder time letting go of her than I did. So he still had some attachments to her. So it's kind of fun to see him just going, "What do you mean she's leaving town? I have to call her and see what's going on." And I go, "She's out of town. She's gone. She wanted me just to tell you you can leave her alone." And he really did not want to let go of her yet, which was, they still had some stuff to deal with. But generally, somebody in the group has something that needs healed, and that's generally when it comes about. So, even in the last situation, there was an issue of commitment issues, and that just he really had to recognize it and face it and deal with it, or come to terms with it and make an agreement with himself of what he wanted in life and follow through with it. And so it's all in perspective and perception of what you do with this because, you have certain things you want to achieve in this lifetime and the lessons do come up and the patterns come up just so you can kind of clear it so you can have a more pure, easier time to manifest your heart's desire. Because a lot of these patterns are just blocks, huge blocks. Especially unforgiveness is blocking you from having that love of your life or the money you really deserve or completing things because you have this issue about in another life that that's all you did. So in this life, you have to enjoy the process and not necessarily completion, just enjoy the process. And that's all you need to do is enjoy the process and not worry about completing anything. Because in a past life, that's all you did was complete everything and you didn't enjoy it at all.
So the people that are living life abundantly and they're eight-figure income earners, they have a yacht and they have their private island. These are people who have cleared their karmas.
No. Not necessarily. They might have karma in other areas. They might have the money, but no love. You know, or no friends, no social life. They have commitment phobia. There's a lot of workaholics that are avoiding feelings, emotions, which we're human. We're supposed to feel those emotions. That's what makes us different. We're supposed to at least, you know, every once in a while, you know, feel love, feel happiness, feel joy. But you got to understand, if you feel miserable and angry or irritated, it's okay to feel irritated. Just don't hold on to it. Recognize it. Okay, here's a pattern. I'm feeling irritated. This person did something to me. But in reality, they did nothing. They just woke up something within you that needed triggered, so you can recognize it.
I've had time stop 2 times in this lifetime. Is that a sign of a parallel universe?
Yes, that's like a ripple. And it's good stuff. So, again, I do want to say the phone lines are open if you have anything you want to talk about. They are letting us run late if we would like. So, 888-815-9756 is the number. And we will be going on for at least another 10, 15 minutes. So, you guys are welcome to call in if you have something you want to say about the... I mean, we just have Mercury retrograde starting tomorrow. Woohoo! But we actually had a whole week with no retrogrades. Was it a breathing space or what? I got a lot of clarity during that time. It was a good week in that sense. In fact, now my head is spinning. We're going into a parallel existence ourselves. Anyway, so Chris, What are some of the things that you're most curious about with past lives or with parallel lives or patterns that we haven't discussed quite yet? Oh, okay. Well, it's just me, myself, and I. Chris got dropped accidentally, or she was dropped, or she hung up, whatever. So I'll continue the conversation. I really began to really understand the power of past lives by looking.
I'm back.
Hi. And I was asking you what questions do you have, or what are some of the areas that within this kind of deal that you would like to talk about?
Well, when you talk about past lives, in a way okay. To me, that would be vertical. And then when you talk about parallel universes, to me, that's horizontal. Mm-hmm. So then when I start making all these lines, then that makes the grid.
Exactly.
And then you can see grids. I can't see grids. Mm-hmm. But you see grids.
Yes, I do.
Is the grid the parallel in the past?
Well,
or is it the hologram?
Well, it's all, everything's a hologram. This is all an illusion. This is all an illusion. It's all made up because of the power of the mass consciousness that wanted to create this grand illusion so we could experience everything we are.
But when I go hit the rock with my foot, it hurts.
Yes, it
does.
Why
does the rock hurt? If it's a hologram, if it's an illusion, why can't I kick it and just have my foot go through it?
Oh, well, there's some people that can.
All right.
There are people who can walk through walls. I've seen it done. They just don't believe the illusion is there, therefore it isn't. There is Carlos Castaneda. I know I pronounced that wrong, but literally some people say he just went into another parallel existence. He really didn't die. He just left. because he literally vanished. They never found his body. They have no idea what happened to him. So a lot of people think he just went into a parallel existence because he was all about that. And he was very evolved and he understood how to do it and very multidimensional person. And he literally one day disappeared. So yes, it is possible. David Hawkins talks about empowering force about it. There are ripples in space. When you have the clock stop, that literally means you're right in the in-between. I've been reading the Book of Dead, the Tibetan Book of Dead, and in there it talks about that and that there are many dimensions and reality. A parallel life is just another layer within the field, which in their views, it's like you go through a lot of hells before you get to heaven, but you got to go through the hells before you can get to the heaven. You got to find those fine points and discover those lessons and learn it to be compassionate, to have that love, to be sharing and caring. There's certain lessons with everything. And often feel like I came back and said, okay, I'll be, whatever you got, just load it on. But generally, if you've listened to my show before, there is, Anson McLeod says there's like, I think, 10 or 15 lessons. I can't remember now exactly, but there's at least 10. Yes, I believe it's 10. 10 lessons that everybody picks. 10 different lessons, 10 different agreements that you come in to learn. And it's pretty amazing things to think about. And he's got great books if you want to check them out, because you literally can cross them off. I've gone through some of them 2, 3, 4 times. I liked it so much. But enjoying the process. And that's the thing. It was very much for me, I had to enjoy the process. And not just, okay, here's the end goal, that I can do this, let's clear it and just do it. I needed to learn to enjoy the process, to slow it down. So that is a big part of this is forgiveness, relaxing, take those risks, push yourself like Chris is pushing herself by being the interviewer while I'm on Ustream. She is, next time we're going to get her on Ustream somehow. I like to help people grow. And it's interesting that I really want to take a couple minutes, and I think we're going to wrap this up. I think we've covered everything, don't you, Chris?
Well, I'm still stuck on the grid of the parallel and the past, and then I jumped over into quantum theory and my thought process. And then I went back to Einstein, and then I went into the chaos theory. So while I've been listening to you, my mind has just been gearing all kinds
Spinning,
of
yes.
gears. And, the nature of quantum theory. Whew. Do you know who Hugh Everett is?
No, I can say I do.
Okay, he's one of them people that says the universe splits in two. One universe is going one way and another is going the other way.
Yeah, one's staying 3D, one's going 5.
Yeah, so Everett's theory is that both options really happen.
Yeah.
And then,
I'm going to fifth. I'm not sticking
so,
in 3D. I'm
so
out of
okay,
fifth.
so if particle has the chances, particles, they decay, right? Particles decay. Or do they? This particle, I mean, particles, they decay.
What do you
I don't
think?
know. It's all just billions and billions and billions of questions and answers.
And the thing is, I kind of agree these days with Dan Millman with the Spirit Warrior deal is there's endless questions in the universe. Just enjoy life and don't try and figure everything out. I mean, there's a lot of things you can go out there and enjoy, like your grandkids.
Absolutely.
And yes, I think it's fascinating with quantum theory, and there is so many different things that are possible. So, if nothing else, Chris, you'll give me a suggestion for a guest idea is to get somebody on quantum theory and the current stream of thought on
Well, what
it,
would be interesting is having someone on quantum theory and then another one on the same call with the chaos theory, which, you know, coincides with the butterfly effect. You know, chaos into perfect. And how chaos works for the higher good, which is an oxymoron, but it is what it is.
It is what it is, and it also, though, everything is for the highest good.
But
No matter what theory it is, it's always for the highest good.
I think being human is a choice, and I think it's a real one. I don't believe it's an illusion. I believe it's real. I believe it's real because I bleed and I suffer.
But you're choosing to suffer. You don't have to.
Well, even Gandhi
You,
bleeds and suffers. I mean, I don't
but
know
see,
any
he,
human
okay.
that doesn't suffer. I don't know any human that doesn't bleed.
Okay, let's put it this way. Yes, we're human beings, and yes, we have a physical body, but we are a spiritual being in a human body. The human body is an illusion. It's like a tree, a rock, a rabbit. There is physical form to it, but we are a spiritual being. We are energy. That's it. We just happen to squeeze into whatever form we're in
And what if
to
energy is the
experience.
illusion, which I don't
I'm
doubt,
sorry?
but then I flip the coin over and go, what if energy is an illusion?
Well, I mean, we could debate this for like hours. I'd rather get an expert in here who really studies this. I'm a dabbler. I have a basic idea of it, but I'm not an expert, so I'm not going to say I am. I have a little bit of a background, but to be quite honest, I don't think I could handle a debate on the issues
Right.
with any kind of substantial evidence to back anything up.
Well, parallel universes, past life experiences. I personally have experienced time stopping twice. I can personally bear
Yeah.
witness to that. And then I
Wait.
can personally say that I've experienced a past life, two past life, no, three past life regressions from your assistance. And as much as I want to deny it and say it's crazy and stomp out my door and look at the sky and go, okay, I feel the ground, I feel the ground, it's still boggles my mind because I can't grasp it. I can only process it.
And that's all
And
you have to do.
of course, after you did that, for like a week, all I did was dream about it and wake up with new revelation.
And that's basically what a past life regression does. It really, in some ways, it opens almost like a Pandora's box because everything spells out. But in the same sense, it's once you get through it, it's great. It's like me having that deja vu, very lucid dream,
Right.
and understanding that it was just now the end. What I thought that was the beginning was actually the end.
But there is no beginning, there is no end. It was a circle.
Yeah, but the cycle started again, and whatever I choose to create from that is up to me and whoever else is part of it. And the dynamics of that situation has shifted and changed in the proper way it is. New agreements were made.
Is this our last?
Is
I mean, is this it? Like, is this the last? What's going to happen after what they call 2012 or the apocalypse?
Well, I don't see it as an apocalypse at all. I do think it's going to be splitting. I think people, some will be in the fifth and some are choosing to stay in the third. And some are, even evolving to the seventh, eighth, and ninth. It just depends on where you are on clearing your karma and moving forward.
And the seventh, eighth, and the seventh, eighth, and ninth are the ones that walk through walls.
You can walk through walls here.
I'm telling you, I haven't mastered the rock yet. It
Well,
still hurts.
to be quite honest, every once in a while I have. It's rare. But I'm still trying to figure out how to go through walls because I think that would be cool. To go walk through a closed door and you don't have to worry about opening it. I know a master who can do it in a heartbeat, actually a couple people.
And you've seen it yet?
And yeah,
Oh,
they
it sounds
walked.
like magic trick to me, Jennifer.
I was not present, but I also know that, and his name is James Robinson. He walked
I
on
know
water.
James Robinson. I know
He's
him.
on Facebook. Yeah, he actually walked on water.
Huh.
And it's the ocean, and he walked on top of the water, not through it, on top of it, because
So
it's
he
mind over
elevated
matter.
us.
It's mind over matter.
Mind over matter.
That's
Okay.
all it is.
And it's the same as the people. That's why people walk on fire paths and nail
Right.
beds and things like that that hurt.
Well, it just, you're transcending what really doesn't exist. It's just an illusion. So your mind is saying, this is not real. This is, it's cool. It's the ground, and you can walk through the hot coals. And it's, you might feel it a little bit because it's a warm ground, but overall, you can walk right through it, and it's just a matter of saying, it's not going to hurt me. It's not going to hurt me. It's not, and having that strong faith, that strong knowingness that it is an illusion and that the heat will not burn
So this is going
and
to be
going through it.
completely left field, but still on topic. I was
Okay.
thinking about the prisoner of wars that were in concentration camps, going through a lot of suffrage. They literally left their bodies so that really they just were not there. That's how they survived mentally.
Right. Right.
Did they transcend? Or did they just
A lot of
stay?
them, they just, it's mind over matter. I mean, to be beaten so much, you just, it doesn't affect you anymore because you're kind of like beyond it. You literally transcend the pain, the physical body, to a place that is peaceful. I've done it quite often. If there's a situation that I feel uncomfortable with, like my car accidents,
Yeah.
I literally was out of my body and I watched the car flip because I knew it was going to be painful. And I transcended myself outside of my physical body and stood on the middle of the road watching my car flip over. And my dogs were right with me. They even transcended themselves. I was holding the puppy, my puppy Stone,
Yeah.
and Josie was sitting next to me.
That's interesting. So.
So, with that wonderful story, it has been about an hour, at least on you stream, and I said I was only going to have an hour show. So I thank you, Chris, very much for co-hosting and being a part of this show. We have next week is the birthday celebration. My birthday is on December 18th, and it is tradition for me to have Raina Ingalls on, and we will be doing straight readings. So get your questions ready and get ready to call in next time. We will be talking about probably soulmates as well, since it is a huge topic right now, and that's kind of one of her specialties these days. So we will be talking about soulmates, relationships next time. This is Jennifer Hellman saying thank you so much for listening. It has been a pleasure and an honor to have you listen in today and watch. Any comments or feedback is great. So with that, this is Jennifer Hellman saying with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights and inspirations. Until next time, many blessings and good night.